God, I love that. Keep going. Let's just sit here and do this all night. Good evening, True Seekers. Happy Samhain for those of you who practice the Wiccan faith and the old religion. It is Halloween once again. Can you believe this? Years just rip by when you're having fun, don't they, Kathy? Huh? Welcome to the annual Halloween edition of the Mike Malloy Show on NovaM Radio. Merry meet to all my Wiccan friends. We're going to try to chase out some of the bats and clear the cobwebs for our annual reading of Edgar Allan Poe's classic, The Telltale Heart. That's going to come up. You're going to have to wait for that one. It'll come up in a couple hours, last hour of the program tonight. So if you have something really important to do, do it in the first or second hour, because you don't want to miss the Telltale Heart. Like I say, it scares me. In a few minutes, Matt Renner will be joining us. Matt Renner is the producer of the Peter B. Collins program that precedes this one on KPHX and also on the internet stream through Nova M Radio, I believe. So those of you who are familiar with the Peter B. Collins program, you probably know this already, but his producer, Matt Renner, was turned on to an ABC radio blacklist that listed scores of advertisers who collectively decided not to advertise on Air America specifically, but probably a lot of a liberal or progressive talk. And I want to talk with Matt about that, because I think it clearly indicates the efforts to suppress any view via the airwaves, especially talk radio, other than that view by the doughy, ugly, sickening Rush Limbaugh and his many clones. So we'll get to that in about 20 minutes. We'll have Matt on. We'll also be discussing tonight the latest attempt to swiftboat John Kerry. You all have heard this today, I'm sure. The Bush crime family is obviously desperate for a straw man to beat, since they have failed at everything. They have now cost the American military and the families in this country 103 dead in Iraq, not to mention the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Iraqi families that will hate the United States and everything we are for generations to come. The Bush crime family, whose policies not just domestically, but internationally, and especially where it concerns their warmongering attitudes on invading other countries without provocation, these policies are such a colossal, astonishing failure that anything they can get their fingernails into, and they will do so. And in this instance, it's John Kerry's offhanded comment to a group of college students that it would be good to study and do a good job, otherwise you'll wind up in Iraq. What he was talking about is George W. Bush winding up in Iraq. But the Republicans, every one of these bloated little bastards who have never worn the uniform of the U.S. military, none of them have, or none of them has, none of them has ever been in a combat zone. None of them has ever done anything other than advocate that your son or my daughter or your brother or your dad go off and fight their dirty, stinking, filthy wars. And they have the unmitigated gall to attack a decorated combat veteran again. Now, what's sickening about it, I expect this from Republicans, but this cowardly John McCain, I've said before, McCain was not a combat veteran. He was a pilot. It was his job to bomb civilians. It was his job to kill. Now, you can make the argument, and I've made it myself, that the object of war is to kill people and break things. And for the most part, whoever kills the most and breaks the most wins. Not always true. Our kill ratio against the Vietnamese was something like 40-1, and we still lost. They broke nothing in America. We broke their whole damn country into a million pieces. We still lost. But the object of military activity is to kill people, destroy things, smash as much as you can. In that vein, I guess John McCain did what the United States military told him to do. Fly overhead, bomb and strafe and shoot. And he got shot down. And he was put in prison. Like we would put anyone who bombed Chicago in prison. And he was tortured like we torture people now. And all of a sudden he's a war hero? No, he's not. He's somebody who flew over civilian targets and blew them to pieces, and he got caught doing it. And John McCain has the audacity to come out today and make the comments he made about Kerry's statement. I hate these people. I hate them with a fiery depth because they have perverted every single honorable institution in this country, every single honorable concept. They have destroyed Christianity. They have destroyed the concept of fair play, justice, honor, dignity, decency, and the United States military. They have rotted it from the inside. They have clawed at it, ripped it to pieces. And then John McCain today steps out. This cowardly son of a bitch steps out and makes the comments he made. Pardon me for saying son of a bitch. I don't mean to say son of a bitch, but it gets me very, very, very angry when a coward has the things to say about somebody who was on a ground combat, down where the bullets were flying. Didn't happen to you, did it, McCain? And then this punk George Bush down here in South Georgia today, in front of a bunch of mouth-breathing hicks and hillbillies, who don't even realize that this man is poisoning them, destroying their country, destroying the state of Georgia, destroying the military. And there he stands, trying to shift what Kerry said onto the United States military, rather than keep it around his own shoulders, which is where Kerry laid it. These people are disgusting. They're filthy. Oh, I know. I'm supposed to try to win them over. To hell with them. Burn in hell. You have put these people in office. You Republicans, you put these people in office who are destroying our country. You think I want to make friends with you? Uh-uh. What you ought to do, you right-wingers, you Republicans, you conservatives, is wake up and understand that the people in charge of this country now are not conservative, they are not Republican, they are Nazis. In the clearest definition of that word, they are Nazis. And when they're finished using you, they will come for you too. For heaven's sake, wake up! You Republicans, stay home this year. If you can't stomach voting for a decent candidate like a Democrat, then stay home. Let your country survive. Can you at least do that? Give the Democrats, give the liberals a chance to repair the damage that this group of murderers, killers, and thugs have perpetrated against the United States for the past 6 years. Can you do that? Or do you want to see your country continue to spiral into the toilet? For heaven's sake. And already the reports, they're coming out of Ohio, coming out of Florida, the two cesspools of Republican political manipulation. That already, here in Georgia also, already, the Republicans are tampering with the system because they know that the voters in this country have had enough of this. And they're doing it again. These lying, cheating dogs are doing it again. Tampering with the voting machines, purging the voter rolls, throwing people off the rolls who have every single right to vote. More of a right than George W. Bush or Dick Cheney ever had to vote in this country. I can only say to these people what my grandmother used to say to me, my Baptist grandmother used to say to me when she caught me in a lie or a fib when I was a little kid. She'd look at me and she'd say, shame on you. Shame on you. And I don't think anything stopped me colder than hearing my grandmother say, shame on you. To you Republicans who vote these people in office and keep them there, all I can say to you is shame on you. Shame on you. This is NoVem Radio.
Saturday Screening with Mike Malloy.
That music used to freak me out. Some of you may be old enough to remember that. It was the theme music from Alfred Hitchcock Presents on television way back in the day, huh? Funeral March of the Marionettes is the title of that. If you're keeping track, former South African president and white supremacist P.W. Botha has died at the age of 90. He died at his home, according to the BBC, in the Western Cape in South Africa, peacefully. He was known to Afrikaners, the white supremacists in that country, as the Great Crocodile. And he led white minority rule between 1978 and 1989 during the height of the anti-apartheid struggle. Botha, like Cheney and Rumsfeld, had his opponents tortured and murdered. He refused to apologize when it was all over, and the people, the black people of South Africa, finally, as peacefully as possible, applied enough pressure to remove this thug. Boy, when they say only the good die young, man, isn't that the truth? He refused to release Nelson Mandela during his rule. That country's most renowned political prisoner. He was later, Botha was later summoned to appear before the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, that was set up by Mandela's government to probe abuses. And in 1998, the panel concluded that Botha was guilty of gross human rights violations, thousands detained without trial during his presidency. Who does that remind you of? Huh? Thousands detained without trial during his presidency. Others were tortured and killed. Who does this remind you of? Yeah, me too. P.W. Botha, may you burn in hell. I'm sure Botha believed in hell. Welcome to hell, Mr. Botha.
It really is a Halloween show tonight.
You're a little bit too cheerful for me. I'm very, very upset about this Kerry story and the way, especially this lousy thug Tony Snow, the way he was handling it, the way they referred to Kerry today. Now, you know, interestingly, I got a couple of emails from people that are very pissed off at Kerry for saying anything, because this allows the Republicans to focus on him and to turn him into an issue. I don't think so. I disagree. I think Kerry, I just wish Kerry would have been this tough a couple of years ago. You know what I'm saying? But no, you know, to hell with that. I don't care who speaks out against this criminal enterprise that now runs this country. I don't care who it is. If Sean Hannity spoke out against this criminal enterprise, I would, never mind. Did you see the video today? This blogger, first-year law student, and former Marine Mike Stark showed up in Virginia, where George Allen, the Republican senator there, who is going to have his ass handed to him on Election Day, Mike Stark showed up to ask some questions about the arrest records that Family Values thug George Allen refuses to make public, where he beat his wife, slapped her around, and spit on her. And Mike Stark, the blogger, showed up. You saw the video today. I'm sure you saw it. It was all over the place. And asked whether or not Allen had ever spit on his first wife. And at that point, men wearing Allen buttons grabbed Stark, wrestled him to the ground, threw his head against a window, removed him from the premises. Now, I watched the video a couple of times, Mike Stark obviously was doing the Tai Chi thing, just allowing these thugs to do what he wanted. He could have snapped the neck of that white-haired old bastard that grabbed him in about 13 seconds if he wanted to. This is a former Marine. And he let these overweight doughboys, these fat, lard-ass associates of Mike Allen, or George Allen, throw him to the ground. According to a CNN correspondent who reported on this, Senator Allen's response was, quote, things like that happen, end quote. Wife beating, spitting on his wife, huh? How about Representative Loretta Sanchez? She's the one who defeated B1 Bob Dornan in Orange County, California, a couple of years ago, took his seat away from him because even the right-wing rednecks out there had had enough of Dornan. She's been a critic of the no-fly list. Last week, she was denied access to a United Airlines flight because her name appeared on a no-fly list set up after the September 11 terrorist attacks. Can you believe what's going to happen when we go to fly, Kathy, the next time and we're on this list? Oh, it's going to be awful. It's going to be awful. That's when I will probably be tasered and have a heart attack or be shot because I go for the throat of one of these TSA punks. I'm not in a good mood tonight. Trick or treat! I think that guy has been eating too much peanut butter, Kathy. I want to talk about this for a second. It will appear to be a small issue given the crimes against humanity being committed by all members of the Bush crime family. And that is the Air America story. But I want to touch on it because it's not as small as it seems to be. An internal memo from ABC Radio Networks to its affiliates shows that scores of powerful sponsors have a standing order that their commercials never be placed on syndicated Air America programming that airs on the ABC affiliates. This memo that came out October 25th was provided to Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting by the producer of the Peter B. Collins Show, Matt Renner, who precedes this one on Nova M, and it comes out of San Francisco. As a matter of fact, we talked with Peter today. The memo was headlined "Air America Blackout" and addressed "Dear Traffic Director." The traffic director is the person at a radio station who coordinates the programming and the advertising, makes sure it's, you know, the traffic flow of commercials around the programming. And the memo gives the following order to affiliates, quote, please be advised that Hewlett-Packard has purchased schedules with ABC Radio Networks between October 30 and December 24, 2006. Please make sure you black out this advertiser on your station as they do not wish to air on any Air America affiliate. Now, the list totals 90 advertisers. Organizations like Allstate, the American Heart Association, Avon, General Electric, FedEx, ExxonMobil, what else? It just goes on. Home Depot, Hormel, Procter & Gamble's toilet paper, Charmin. No Charmin commercials on what? Oh, God, don't even let me go there. Anyway, joining us now is Matt Renner from San Francisco. Matt, thanks for joining us here for a second. How did this come about? How did you get this memo?
We got it from a source of ours. We have a number of tipsters and listeners who call in and, you know, give us hints and point us in the right direction when they find news that isn't being picked up by any media sources.
Well, I've got to tip my hat to you and Peter and your listeners. I just wonder now. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me okay, Matt? All right. Have we lost Matt?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm wondering now, Matt, since this information is out now, if these right-wing thugs like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or the rest of the O'Reilly over on Fox News, if they will now admit that one of the reasons Air America failed in the beginning was because of this advertising blackout. Now, granted, Air America is now in control. It's in bankruptcy, and the people who are actually making decisions, Air America, are nothing more than right-wing thugs who were sent there to murder the company, murder the network. But I wonder if Limbaugh or Hannity or the rest of these pigs will come on the air and say, gee, it's not that there's not an audience for liberal talk. It's plots like this to deny them advertising. What do you think, Matt?
Well, Mike, let me turn that around. I think that they're going to claim credit for it in their utter insane quest to dominate all that isn't a right-wing, you know, ditto-head kind of show.
You're
like
right.
Theirs.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right. That's what they'll say. They'll say, look what we did. We convinced these advertisers to stay away. McDonald's. You know, I could never figure out why, of the 2 years that I was on Air America, I never heard a McDonald's commercial on my program. I never heard Allstate. I never heard Bank of America or Microsoft, for God's sake, or Walmart, whom I, frankly, disgust me. The company disgusts me. Maybe that's the reason. The U.S. Postal Service, the U.S. Navy. Well, what is up with that?
It's very surprising to me, too. But, you know, it's hard to put it past a lot of these companies. The message that Air America was putting out there, which, you know, I am a huge supporter of and a big part of, is that corporations are ruining the media, and allowing Air America to say that and even supporting them with ad dollars, you know, goes against a lot of the bottom lines of these corporations who are in place to profit, and this is clearly going against their profit incentive.
Well, yeah. Do they think that liberals or sane people don't have a need for bathroom tissue? Do they think that sane people don't use FedEx or would never want to use it? Do they think that sane people don't go to Office Depot or eat this scummy, filthy McDonald's food? A lot of sane people. This infuriates me. You know, I get to the point, Matt, where I think I can't get any angrier. And then you come up with a story like this, and it just drives me crazy.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you one thing. I won't be eating at McDonald's after this memo came out. Also, there's more to this story, I hope. We'll continue digging into it. I'm going to keep working on it, and I may be partnering with one of your biggest fans, Larissa Alexandrovna.
At Raw Story. Yeah, yeah. Larissa is a good investigative writer, and all I can say is congratulations on coming up with this, Matt. Keep holding these bastards' feet to the fire, because this is I think it's a clear indication of the absolute determination by so many people in positions of power to turn this country into a fascist state, if not fascism, corporatism, which is damn near the same thing. So thanks, Matt. You all of a sudden become one of my heroes. All right.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to have you back.
All right. Glad to be back. Thanks, Matt. Take care. Take care. We'll talk again. Matt Renner is the producer of the Peter B. Collins program. And if you haven't heard Peter's program, Peter B. Collins, for heaven's sake, start tuning in. All right. Find it. You'll find it. Dude, we ain't getting a Dell. Oh, my God.
Yeah, liberals don't buy Dell computers.
No. And a year ago, we bought one, you know. And when I announced that on the air, I had how many emails, Kathy? About 60 telling me, what the hell is wrong with you?
Well, now we know. GoBlue.com.
GoBlue.com.
GoBlue.com. Yeah. And who needs Walmart? We've got Costco.
That's right. That's right. I'll tell you, sometimes it just feels like such a struggle, doesn't it? Huh? I'm not talking about Mike Malloy radio talk show host. I'm talking about Mike Malloy American, just like you, American. Sometimes it's just such a struggle. The government is determined to destroy the Constitution. The huge corporations are determined to destroy the working class. They work in tandem to make sure, to the best of their filthy ability, to make sure that you and I don't understand what's going on. Deny us the information we've got to have. And I'll tell you, I know a lot of you are Bill Clinton fans, but I really fault Clinton for this. When Clinton and Reagan, that doddering old bastard Reagan who did away with the Fairness Doctrine, and then Clinton of all people, although I don't know why this surprises me, signed the legislation that the Republican thugs put together, allowing consolidation of media outlets. to the point that Clear Channel, for example, how many stations they own, Kathy? 1,600, 800, a million, 10 trillion. They own stations on Mars, Jupiter, and the next galaxy. This is not the way the framers of the Constitution saw a free press. So Reagan and Clinton, I'm sorry for the people that they think the sun rises and sets in Bill Clinton. Look, a lot of things he did I liked. I mentioned the other night that no American soldiers were killed during the 8 years of Clinton's presidency. But what I left off, and I got a couple of emails reminding me, is that Clinton and his psychopathic Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, maintained the sanctions against Iraqi children and old people to the point that at least 500,000 of them died because they were denied nutrition and medicine. And I will never, ever forget or forgive Madeleine Albright's statement when she was asked by somebody at CNN or someplace, do you think the deaths of 500,000 children makes the sanctions worth it? And this old bitch sat there and said, yeah, I think it does. That's an evil, sick, disgusting person. And she worked for Bill Clinton. And I'm sorry if that offends you. FedEx. Gillette Venus. What is that, Kathy? Is that a female razor? Gillette Venus, I guess.
That's what I use.
Yeah. Not anymore. Hershey's? Hershey's? Didn't want any advertising on Air America? E-Pharmacy? Or no, E-Harmony? What is that? E-Harmony? Well, that's
a bunch of Christian whack.
Yeah, that's a Christian. Yeah. What else here? Gold Bond foot spray? Don't advertise on a liberal program. We're Gold Bond foot spray. We don't give a damn if their feet rot off. The hell is wrong with you people? And Coca-Cola? Oh, Jesus.
Now we gotta move.
Yeah. All right, we'll do some phone calls when we come back. All right, oh man, it just never stops, does it? It never stops. And these rat bastards that dominate talk radio keep talking about, well, nobody wants to hear liberal talk, and liberal talk is struggling. I'll tell you, any commercial you hear on this radio station or this network, for heaven's sake, support it. Send emails saying thank you for advertising on Nova M. We'll be back after this. I'm Mike Malloy.
Welcome to my breakdown. I hope I didn't scare you. That's just the way.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Happy Samhain to anyone who knows what that means on this, our Halloween program, 2006. Boy, time just rips by, doesn't it? We're going to do the Carrie story here in just a second, but I started with this and then got sidetracked during the first hour. Representative Loretta Sanchez, who is a Democrat, who represents Orange County, essentially Orange County, California, the California 47th Congressional District, which is just south of L.A. She is the woman who defeated B1 Bob Dornan, probably one of the more psychotic right-wingers in Congress. They called him B-1 Bob because, first of all, he was a pilot. Secondly, because he did everything he could to bring those sorts of contracts to his home district, to continue to build bombers, continue to to work for war rather than peace, destruction rather than construction, death rather than life. And a couple of years ago, Loretta Sanchez whipped his ass and became the Democratic representative from that district. She was denied access to a United Airlines flight last week because her name appeared on a no-fly list set up by the Bush crime family. Now, she's been a critic of the no-fly list, and she said her staff had booked her a one-way ticket from Boise, Idaho to Cincinnati through Denver. When they asked for a boarding pass, you know, you get one online, they were prevented from printing her boarding pass online. And when she went to the airport at the kiosk where you can get your boarding pass, nope, wouldn't do it. So she went up to the ticket counter, asked what was going on. She was instructed to check in with a United employee who told her she was on a terrorist watch list. So this crack United Airlines employee asked for her identification. Sanchez said in a phone interview with the Associated Press, quote, I handed over my congressional ID. And he started laughing and said, quote, I'm going to need an ID that has your birthday on it, end quote. Now, the employee, when questioned about this later, said he used Sanchez's birthday to determine she was not the same Loretta Sanchez on the list. Uh-huh. And she was able to board the flight. Now, that's a lie, and you know it's a lie, and I know it's a lie. In the first place, you and I can never prove it's a lie because you can never see the list. Nobody knows who's on the list. Nobody knows how they got there. Nobody knows how they're going to be taken off or what they have to do to get off the list. So the United employee is a liar. A Transportation Security Administration spokeswoman said that for security reasons, she couldn't confirm that the name was on the list. But she said that, well, name mix-ups do occur. This TSA spokeswoman said, you know, generally what happens is people have a name that is very similar to someone who is on the no-fly list. It's the airline's responsibility to do further checking. I gotta go now. Bye. Now, Sanchez said that she has fought to get some of her constituents' names off the no-fly list and that doing so can take up to 6 months. See, she represents a district that has as many as 24,000 American Arabs in Orange County. Think about that for a second, huh? And she's Latina. So isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? The white Christian Nazi Bush crime family. Well, she's a Latina who represents American Arabs. Put her on the list. Sanchez, sometimes it takes, did I just say this already? Up to 6 months to get people off that list. She said, when they want to, the TSA can make sure that you don't have that identification problem. Sometimes it's taken us months to get these people off the list so they can travel in a normal way. Jesus, God. So that's what they did to Sanchez last week. The brown shirts who hover around Virginia Senator George Allen like flies around a dung heap went after a Marine veteran and blogger today, roughed him up. The Marine could have snapped all of their necks in about 13 seconds, but chose to take a passive attitude about this. And now we have the deal with Kerry. Now, Kerry, you know, the conventional wisdom now is Kerry was making a joke. A joke is the wrong word. Kerry was saying something. He said if you you study hard, do your homework, yada, 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 you can do well. If you don't, you get stuck in Iraq. He was referring to George W. Bush, this useless thug who had his pappy get him in on affirmative action, white people's affirmative action, got him into Yale and Harvard, where he was a drug-sniffing cheerleader, kind of like Trent Lott, who has now sent hundreds of thousands of people to their deaths. Hundreds of thousands of people to their deaths. Getting stuck in Iraq was reference to this thug in the White House. So let's go through this. Here's Kerry. All right? This is Carrie speaking to students at Pasadena City College in Pasadena, California, yesterday. Now, keep in mind that the neo-Nazis running the Republican Party are so terrified of the current state of affairs, realizing they're going to lose big time next week, so they jump on any opportunity to bash Democrats. So Carrie's telling a bunch of college students to avoid getting stuck in Iraq, clearly criticizing the Bush crime family's failed policy there. And the Republican ghouls clamp onto him like a blood-sucking, draft-dodging zombie coward that most of them are, trying yet again to shift the message away from their failures and their murder and their torture and their bloody mistakes, deliberate, onto a decorated Vietnam veteran. Here's Kerry's comments that got these Republican pissants bloomers in a wad. Here's what he said.
Well, you know, education, if you make the most of it, and you study hard and you do your homework and you make an effort to be smart, you can do well. If you don't, you get stuck in Iraq.
Bush gets stuck in Iraq. So Foxy the Snowman, this cancer-riddled freak who now speaks for the Bush crime family, another chicken hawk, another coward, joins the veteran-bashing hayride on the Republican banshee bandwagon today and coughs out this pious statement about Kerry's remarks yesterday.
A lot of people, America's finest, have willingly agreed to volunteer their services in a mission that they know is dangerous but is also important.
Oh.
And, you know, Senator Kerry not only owes an apology to those who are serving, but also to the families of those who have given their lives in this. This is an absolute insult.
No, snow job. The insult is how your draft-dudging, champagne unit coke-nosed boss continues to throw young men and women into the Iraq meat grinder because he can't admit he's made a mistake. Ever! That's the insult. That's the insult. Are you telling me, Tony Snow, that people who are sent back second, third, fourth, fifth tours of duty into a combat zone, urban combat, that we are losing? That they are willingly agreeing to that? No, they're not, you lying son of a bitch, and you know they're not. Now, Chucklenuts, the chief chicken hawk, the coward, this cowardly little tyrant, this draft-dodging, coke-sniffing, cowardly little tyrant, George W. Bush, in Perry, Georgia today, on the stump for some ex-Georgia State Senator has-been tobacco farming freak, which is the only place Rove can send him. Hey, Rove, send him to New York. Send him to California. Send him to Phoenix. Send him to Chicago. Send him here to Atlanta. Nah, send him to Perry, Georgia, where the good church-going hillbillies down there who don't understand, for some reason, don't understand how the Bush crime family is destroying their way of life and destroying their families and destroying their religion and destroying the economy. We'll gather together and applaud this sick bastard. We'll have the quote for you when we come back.
Across these endless skies, Yippee-i-yo, Yippee-i-yo. Those riders in the sky, those riders.
Who was that, Rumsfeld? Chertoff. All right, Chucklenuts the Chicken Hawk in Perry, Georgia today to stump for one of the very few Republican candidates who will have anything to do with him this election season. And he gets up there in front of these people, and I'm sorry to refer to them as crackers and hillbillies, but anyone who will stand there, a crowd of people who will stand and applaud somebody as evil and degenerate as this man, calling them hillbillies and crackers is about the easiest I can call them. So he gets up there, and he heaps on the Kerry criticism, trying to do anything to generate some positive momentum for next Tuesday for the American Nazi Party. The good news, and you'll soon hear, is that Kerry got 9 minutes of airtime today to answer these freaks. And surprisingly, the major news channels, not Fox, of course, that's not a major news channel, that is the Bush propaganda channel, but the major news channels, as weak and disgusting as they are, aired his press conference without interruption. But first, here he is, ladies and gentlemen, man or monkey from Georgia today, flailing wildly at his latest straw man.
The senator's suggestion that the men and women of our military are somehow uneducated is insulting and it is shameful. The members of the United States military are plenty smart, and they are plenty brave. And the senator from Massachusetts owes them an apology.
Oh, you cockroach. You cockroach. Kerry is rightfully and honorably criticizing Bush's policies that has sent nearly 3,000 Americans to their deaths and God knows how many, tens of thousands who are now permanently injured, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis to their deaths. That's who Kerry is criticizing, Bush, not the troops. And unlike anybody in the Bush crime family, unlike every one of the snakes, Kerry is a combat veteran and does care about the welfare of people who put on the uniform of this country. People that Bush illegally sent to kill and be killed. You're disgusting, George W. Bush. You're just disgusting. So then John Kerry has a press conference in Seattle today. And in the end, it's the Bush crime family that comes out stinking like the filthy liars they are. Because the major news media gave lots of coverage to the press conference held by the man who should be president, John Kerry. Kerry's speech is full of righteous anger and mince no words about the dirty politics of these murderous chicken hawk cowards. Isn't it amazing how all of a sudden the news media are suddenly fair and balanced these days?
I'm sick and tired of a whole bunch of Republican attacks, most of which come from people who never wore the uniform and never had the courage to stand up and go to war themselves. Enough is enough. We're not going to stand for this. This policy is broken. I'm not going to be lectured by a White House or by the likes of Rush Limbaugh, who's taking a day off from mimicking and attacking Michael J. Fox, who's now going to try to attack me and lie about me and distort me. No way. It disgusts me that a bunch of these Republican hacks who've never worn the uniform of our country are willing to lie about those who did. It's over.
Senator, where were you? Honest to God, where were you 2 years ago? It would have been much harder to steal an election from this John Kerry. But never mind. Let's look forward. So will Kerry apologize for his comments on Monday? Huh? Hell no. And he goes on to explain exactly how the Bush crime family has used and abused U.S. troops and the U.S. military for its own disgusting purposes.
Let me make it crystal clear, as crystal clear as I know how. I apologize to no one for my criticism of the president and of his broken policy. If anyone owes our troops in the fields an apology, it is the president and his failed team and a Republican majority in the Congress that has been willing to stamp, rubber stamp, policies that have done injury to our troops and to their families.
Amen.
The White House's attempt to distort my true statement is a remarkable testament to their abject failure in making America safe. It's a stunning statement about their willingness to reduce anything America to raw politics. It's their willingness to distort, their willingness to mislead Americans, their willingness to exploit the troops as they have so many times, at backdrops, at so many speeches in which they have not told the American people the truth. I'm not going to stand for it.
And you know what Kerry's comments do for me? They just make me even more pissed off at Bill Clinton. What is Bill Clinton doing sucking around George Herbert Bush? What is Bill Clinton all of a sudden doing sucking around this crime family? I don't care what the issue is. I don't care that allegedly it's for a charity or for people that have been injured and damaged in natural disasters. If Clinton wants to do that, hook up with Jimmy Carter. Hook up with an honorable human being. What is Clinton doing around these thugs and vampires and ghouls and eaters of the dead? It's about 25 before the hour. This is Samhain, or for those of us who are not Wiccans, it is Halloween. Welcome to the program. If you're just joining us, we're in the last John Kerry comment today from the press conference in Seattle in response to these right-wing thugs in the Bush crime family. And in this one, Kerry sums up his argument against the Bush nightmare in Iraq and the abuse, the ongoing, the constant of abuse of our troops while they're in a combat zone and when they come back. And wonder of wonders, the cameras kept rolling. Wolf Blitzer didn't inject his ridiculous comments. Candy Crowley was probably out eating. Nobody on MSNBC said anything. And the cameras kept rolling. Isn't it remarkable what a few polls that show the Republicans going into the toilet? And the blatant threats issued by the Bush crime family against the U.S. media will do to the press. Isn't it amazing? You know, was it just yesterday or the day before when Lynn Cheney sat there and more or less challenged Wolf Blitzer to get the hell out of his studio and stop saying nasty things about Bush, huh? Rumsfeld telling the press to back off. Boy, it's a virtual 180 from the last election season, right? All right, here's the last bit from Kerry. The man who had the votes been counted would have prevented the mass death that we and the Iraqis have experienced, and not just in Iraq, but wherever else the Bush crime family is operating under cover of darkness like a bunch of poisonous spiders.
This is a textbook Republican campaign strategy. Try to change the topic. Try to make someone else the issue. Try to make something else said the issue, not the policy, not their responsibility. Sadly, this is the best that this administration could do in a month when we have lost 100 young men and women who have given their lives for a failed policy. Over half the names on the Vietnam Wall were put there after our leaders knew that our policy was wrong. And it was wrong that leaders were quiet then, and I'm not going to be quiet now. They have a standstill and lose policy in Iraq, and they have a cut-and-run policy in Afghanistan. And the fact is, our troops who have served heroically, who deserve better, deserve leadership that is up to their sacrifice, period.
Well, don't expect, Senator, these filthy cowards. These Bush crime family thugs to have any response to what you said today but to continue to attack you, normal people, Democrats, liberals, and expect the pig man and this little rat bastard Sean Hannity to continue their attack. Two more casualties announced today. U.S. death toll so far in October in Iraq, 103. 103. And this monstrous, evil man, Dick Cheney, says it's just Al-Qaeda trying to exploit our election campaign. This is what they do. This is what these evil, evil people do. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. Again, the number here is 800-989-1480. Let's start with Paula in New Jersey. Paula, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, I missed the hell out of you.
Well, we're back.
I missed the hell out of you. I'm hanging out on the Truth Seeker thread at DU.
Uh-huh.
With all my buddies, we're having quite a party.
Oh, good. Well, I haven't been there yet tonight. I'll have to switch over and take a look.
And, about this Kerry thing, I just wanted to... First of all, Kerry's not on any ballot next Tuesday.
Right.
So they're going after a man who's not up for any election.
Well, but he's the straw man. He's the proxy. He's the one they're going to attack so that the knuckle-draggers and the mouth-breathers out here, the people who just don't care how their country's being destroyed, will hear some of this and go, yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's that John Kerry again. Yeah, God bless George Bush. No, I'm not going to vote. I'm okay. If I do vote, I'll just vote for my Republican. That's who they're targeting. That's what this is about, Paula.
But the Republican Party, on their best day, they merely sound insane.
Yeah.
On their worst day, they're downright cruel. I mean, you have Ted Stevens and his internet tubes.
Uh-huh.
Sam Brownback, remember during the stem cell debate with his talking embryos, the pictures he had?
Oh, my God, yes.
And then, George Allen's minstrel show of a reelection campaign.
Isn't that something?
And they're focusing on this, taken totally out of context.
You hate him as much as I do, don't you?
Oh, I'm telling you, when you played that the clip of the chimp, I was literally hitting myself in the head.
Oh no!
Because that pain was better than hearing him talk.
I know. He's polluting the state of Georgia tonight, and he was polluting the state of Georgia. Well, I don't know that it's pollution. I live in the buckle of the Bible Belt. And I just feel so sorry for Republicans in the state. Such
are you
a...
and Kathy feeling okay? I mean, are you having any ill effects? Is there a bad smell? Sleepiness
no.
to the stomach? Because I kind of feel that when they're in, New Jersey.
No, well, we do, we do get some effect from the traffic down here. Anytime we go into Atlanta, that feels like that. But no, we live out of ways, and we're well disguised. We can go about. I have a gun rack in my pickup truck, and sometimes I put my 12 gauge up there, and we don't have any bumper stickers, and we just kind of cruise around, and God help the first redneck that ever stops me and says, "Hey, ain't you at Mike Malloy?" He'll get a big surprise. Trust me on that, Paula.
Oh, I wish if that day happens, I wish I could be there to see it.
Hey, Paula, thanks for checking in. I appreciate it, all right?
Thanks, Mike. You have a great night.
Okay, you too. Take care. Yeah, it's not difficult to disguise yourself when you're a white male and you live in Georgia. It's not that hard. If you have any sort of color about you, and I'm not talking about a suntan, then it's not so hard. It's not so easy. But when you're a white male and people see you driving down the street with what they assume to be your wife and your child, oh, you're safe. You're safe. And the gun rack in the back of the pickup truck just kind of adds to the illusion. As a matter of fact, sometimes when I do put my shotgun up there, just unloaded, just for the hell of it, just for the sheer bloody hell of it, and I'll get some redneck in one of these great big old Ford, what are they, Kathy, 350s, those huge battle tank pickup trucks, pull up next to me, chewing a great big old mouthful of rotten, stinking tobacco. Got his belly sticking out, and he looks over and gives me the thumbs up because he sees that shotgun. He figures, I'm going to go out there and kill a few Negroes, too, when the time is right. He looks over and goes, hey, how you doing there, buddy? I just kind of look over at him and don't do anything, because if I do, you know, the game's up. Hey, how you doing there? Hot damn, what you got back there, boy? Is that Winchester over and under? What is that you got back there?
Remind me again why we live here. I'm losing it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I want Molly riding around in the back of one of those oversized pickup trucks, you know, learning how to shoot things.
No. I will teach Molly how to fire a weapon when the time comes. I will, just like I taught my son Chris. You're damn right on that. But what where Molly lives will be up to her. But I it's just unbelievable. When we go visit my daughters in Florida, we don't go too far from Perry, Georgia, where this
we
bush,
go through Perry.
Do we go right through it? Where this bush thug was today, and so much of South Georgia is just so sad. There's two Georgias. They talk about it here in the state. There's Atlanta, and then there's South Georgia. And it is just a sad, sad story to see these little dried up towns where what little bit of textile industry or canneries or whatever they had are gone now. Little manufacturing companies that might employ 300-400 working people, gone now. And I, in a non-arrogant, non-elitist way, I feel very sorry for those people who have been raped, economically raped by the Bush crime family. But when I see him out there cheering this evil bastard, I can't help it. I just can't help but think, you bunch of cracker hillbillies. Speaking of whom...
The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. Because I told you once, you son of a gun, I'm the best there's ever been. He played, found him out, run, boy, run. Devil's in the house.
Yeah!
The chicken in the bread, better picking out dough. Devil's in the house.
And we certainly don't want that, do we? All right, coming up a little bit over half an hour, we'll have our reading of The Telltale Heart. You want to stick around for that? I've gotten a couple of emails tonight from people who would like to see the list of advertisers who decided to blacklist advertising on Air America, and probably by extension any liberal program or liberal organization that is trying to bring some balance to the airwaves. So we're going to put at our website the link to fair.org's article, and you can click on the link within the article and get the list. However, just got an email from Reg over at tvnewslies.org. They have already transcribed the list because it's a little bit hard to read in the original memo. They've already transcribed it. It will be at tvnewslies.org on the editor's blog by tomorrow morning. And it's in. You can really read this. I mean, this is incredible, Kathy. Frito-Lay? Oh, my God. Goodyear, Heineken, Hershey's, Hewlett-Packard, Home Depot, Hormel. Kohl's. Kohl's departments are Levi's. MGM. Michelin. Microsoft. It just goes on and on. Office Depot. Pepsi. Philip Morris. Well, screw them. Pier 1 Imports. Sharing Plow. Sherwin-Williams. What? Paint? There's something political about paint! Ah, you evil bastards! Toys R Us? Toys R Us! Think about that for a second. Toys R Us!
Yeah, we don't want to advertise on Air America or those liberal things, you know.
Visa? Walgreens? Welch's? What, the grape juice? Wrigley? The chewing gum?
I see now Molly's in for a lonely childhood with no Toys R Us, no Wrigley gum, nothing from Walgreens. What was the other one? Welch's grape, no grape juice. Poor Molly. She's going to have to play with a bag of doorknobs and sticks.
The Discovery Channel? All right, so just you know, if you have another source, go for it. But TVNewsLies.org, y'all are familiar with that website. If you're not, get familiar with it. TVNewsLies.org, and go to the editor's blog, and this list will be there. I don't know what you want to do with the list. It's like the 18,000 people that signed the online petition when I was dumped by Air America. Not Air America, but by a couple of thugs within Air America, right-wingers, I guess to make an example to everybody else. I don't know. I know Randy tried to defend me, and so did Sam a little bit. And we were even in New York about a week later, and I went into the studio. I was looking for their financial officer. I was just going to bitch slap him all around the room, but he was hiding. Because apparently he's one of the people that made the decision. So I went in the studio and sat down with Sam Cedar, and we talked about it. And none of the big cowards, the big brave bully boys at Air America Management who had a say in this about bankrupting the company would show up.
I think they were busy somewhere drawing straws, who would be the new CEO and who got to put on the hat this time to be the sales manager.
Well, it's just a shame. Air America, the concept of which was really good, and God bless Shelley and Anita Drobny, who came up with the idea, and John Sinton, the three of them, who went out here 3.5-4 years ago and just busted their humps trying to raise money to get this thing on the air. And the rich liberals in this country who absolutely would not participate. So they had to get the money where they could get it. And what happened next? The Drobnys were pushed out, and then Sinton was marginalized, and then these right-wing monsters took over. So the attack against Air America came from the inside and the outside. How much longer will Air America be on the air? Who knows? Man. No, I think people do care. Kathy said, who cares? Well, no, people do care. People who like Randy Rhodes' program love Randy Rhodes' program. People who like Sam Cedar love Sam Cedar. People who like Rachel Maddow love Rachel Maddow.
And talent will out, and they'll all have careers long after Air America is gone.
That's true. They will. But the idea, the whole concept was such a good one. It's really ugly. I hope somebody writes the book on what really happened. Not that anyone too much gives a damn, I guess. Let's go back to the calls. Philip is calling from San Diego. Philip, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Good to hear your voice after a month hiatus there.
Hey, 2 months.
2 months.
Right.
3 months. Seemed like a long time.
Yeah, well, it was
anyhow,
2 months.
I was
keeping track by the unemployment checks I was getting.
Well, at least you got that.
So that's true. That's true.
I can't believe this guy has the nerve to stand up there and talk about how brave and wonderful the troops are, considering what he's done with the troops. There's like two articles I put on my blog today.
Yeah.
One is a story about on October 11th, 2006, a tactical nuclear device exploded at a place called Camp Falcon in Iraq. And
you know, I've heard about that. Hey, let me put you on hold, Philip. We've got to take a break here. We'll come back and pick you on the other side of the break. Just stay right there. We'll come back and get you. This is Nova M Radio and KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Oh, my God. 10 before the hour, I was just checking the Democratic Underground thread on this program. They've started a second thread here, and a poster named Gumby writes, in response to my saying we're going to take some calls, Gumby writes, calls? Give us pickles.
In good time. Pickles isn't here now, Mrs. Torrance. No pickles here. Red rum. Red rum!
Yeah, well, pickles will be back for sure. All right, back to phone calls. Andrew is calling from Las Vegas. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. Hello from the City of Lights, and with a governor here, wannabe governor. Has some obviously serious sexual pent-up issues he's dealing with.
Yeah, what is this thing? He tried to molest or attack or rape or fondle a woman in a parking deck?
Well, and of course, there's obviously lots of security cameras and elevator cameras, and mysteriously, none of them were working that night.
Oh, my goodness, really?
It's a very sick system out here. The good old boy network is alive and well out here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Oh, man. Oh, well.
That's very thick.
You know, there was, who is this, Gibbons? This is Congressman Jim Gibbons.
Yeah, right-wing wacko Gibbons.
Yeah, and tried to sexually assault a cocktail waitress.
Yeah, she called 9/11, I guess, three different times, trying to, you know, a third time, I guess, was from being locked into a Starbucks bathroom, trying to get away from this person. And, of course, his excuse is, he was just trying to help her to her car, even though they were both extremely drunk. So that's nice.
The bit I read said that he claimed he was only trying to help her stand up because she'd fallen down. And the only reason I give a tinker's damn about these stories, frankly, is because it just never stops with these people. It just goes on and on and on. I don't care if it's heterosex, homosex, I don't care what it is. They are predators, these Republicans. Every single one of them is a predator. Given the right moment, that is when they get drunk or they lose their Bible or you know, they've just finished screaming, Jesus loves Republicans. They will grab your son, your daughter, your mom, your grandmother, no matter who it is, and try to do them. They're sick. They're sick.
They're sick and hypocritical at the same time.
Yeah.
If I can, Mike, I just want to take a quick second to say, you're very modest and humble person. You really generally are, and you beat that guy with a half brain tied behind his back, you know, hands down on anything. But I just want to take issue with you about something.
Sure.
During the 90s, I grew up in this right wing wacko state called Michigan, Lansing, Michigan, and because I like conversation radio, I was forced to listen to Limbaugh, Liddy, all of them bash the heck out of my president.
Right.
Even though I, have issues with a lot of things he did to cater to these thugs,
right.
They bash him day in and day out. And the top of it that has made me totally sick was during the 2000 campaign, when he went on their campaign stage, Bush, and he started out with the Clinton, don't stop, think about tomorrow song.
Mm-hmm.
And then you heard the record scratch and the Who song came out. No, we're not going to be fooled again. I did this if I lost my lunch.
Yeah, I know. You know, and I've got issues with the Clinton administration too. But I tell you what, during 8 years, this is a very jingoistic thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. During 8 years of the Clinton administration, even though he got us involved in a shooting war in Europe, the first time since the end of World War II, not a single American service member came back to this country in a coffin. Not one in 8 years. And that is even giving Clinton the fact that he's responsible for the death of an awful lot of Serbs who did nothing except be in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I don't even want to get into that discussion. But Clinton also presided over the longest economic growth period in this country since, I don't know, going back to the 50s maybe? I have no idea. And the other day when this Lynn Cheney was on Blitzer's program, she was trying to point out to Blitzer that her husband's administration had, her words, inherited a recession. I hate these lying bastards. I just hate them so much. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate them? It's just beyond belief.
They're all evil.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to end by saying, Mike, what I wanted to say is, you know, I found Air America by accident on my XM radio.
Uh-huh.
And so I started listening to XM, Air America. You know, I discovered, obviously, you, Randy, Sam. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody on there is great, awesome. Where I quit listening to the news media. I totally put an end to all of it because it's all obviously one way.
It'll rot your brain. Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah. And, you know, and one of the last messages that I left on their little stupid 800 number, please leave your comments for the Mike Malloy Show, was I think you guys just kicked yourself in the nuts for getting rid of this person.
Yeah.
Because, I'm not going to give you all these platitudes, you know, and say, oh, you're number one, all this and all that. But you know what? You're a major part of that network, and it just makes me sad.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, it's a long story there, Andrew, and I'll write about it sometime. Listen, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it. I hope to hear from you again. You take care. I still have friends at Air America, people who I really like, Randy Rhodes and Sam Cedar and Rachel Maddow and Tom Hartman is not Air America. He's syndicated by Air America. And you know, I like these people, and I hope everything works out for them. I really do. I hope that Randy and Sam and Rachel land somewhere because, as far as Air America as a company, you know, they're in bankruptcy. Maybe they'll get out of it. Delta is in bankruptcy. So, you know, you never know. But there's a long story there. I'm not going to bother you with it now. All right, we have a break here. Major break. This is the long one. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. Stick around, okay? Final hour of the Malloy program. Come on, get it right. Final hour of the Malloy program on Nova M Radio Network. Coming up. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. If you'd like to join the fun and frivolity, 800-989-1480 is the phone number here. Podcasts and downloads of the Malloy program will begin tomorrow. Go to Nova Radio NovaM.com. Nova M, I'm sorry, NovaMradio.com. And you'll get the information there. Now, we were talking with Philip in San Diego. Back to Philip. Thanks for holding on, Philip.
Oh, no problem. Let me start by giving out the URL. I'm on powersandmorrison.com.
Okay.
If people want to look for damage control with Philip Rockwell.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right.
powersandmorrison.com. You can read along with me. What we're talking about is the report out that was reported everywhere except on the U.S. media, that there was an attack, an explosion at Camp Falcon. Camp Falcon is a major munitions camp that the Pentagon website says has about 5,000 soldiers in it.
Yeah.
So this death toll of 103 people dead in Iraq this month is probably way higher than we were told. The other story I have on that today is about a new report out that says now 11,000 veterans have died as a result of exposure to depleted uranium.
Good God.
11,000 veterans.
Now, this goes back to Gulf War I.
Gulf War I, right up to the Iraq veterans right now. And the disgusting thing about this is during the Clinton administration in May of 1999, the Pentagon acknowledged using it. From Clinton that point on into the Bush crime family, they could have stopped using this, but they don't care. So he can't stand up there and tell me that he gives a damn about troops, cares about them, they're brave and wonderful people, when they allow weapons like that to be used.
Oh, yeah.
So that was bad enough in itself. But this morning, when I was starting the post, I was looking for a real scary picture, you know, for Halloween.
Right.
And I clicked on a story from the New York Times about his little pep rally down in Sugar Land, Texas yesterday.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Y'all have to go to the URL I gave you. Take a look at the picture. You can see what the dumb bastards look like. A woman with a pom-pom behind him, cheering a mass murderer.
I know. I can't handle it, Philip.
It's absolutely unbelievable. So that was like the topper for the week so far. Yesterday was a real topper because we had the fat fascist Duncan Hunter saying that he wants to run for president. Now, this is the man that was the main sponsor of the torture bill. Coincidentally, it was H.R. 6166. Take the one out, and what do you got?
You know, I'd like to take people like Duncan Hunter and Tom DeLay and the rest of these thugs and give them standard issue U.S. soldier armament and weaponry and put them in the middle of Tikrit or the middle of Baghdad, not in the green zone, or just put them on the ground in the combat zone that they so slavishly support and see how long these worms can exist before someone comes along and just steps on them. I hate cowards. I hate cowards, especially the kind of coward that always wants you and me to go fight them. I hate cowards. I can't stand them. Philip, thanks for checking in, man. I got to move on. I appreciate your call. Checking the Democratic Underground thread on this program tonight, one of the posters there, Ms. November, makes a very salient and interesting point that up until I read her post, it didn't even occur to me. She writes regarding Kerry's frontal assault on this Bush crime family. Ms. November writes, wouldn't it be fantastic if a few more senators would join Kerry and just pound the crap out of these goons? A full frontal attack, a herd of Democrats not letting up, and don't back down until after the election. And then she adds, a person can dream, can't she? Yeah, where's everybody else? I hope Russ Feingold will step out tomorrow and join Kerry. What about Hillary Clinton? Are you gonna join in, Senator Clinton? What about just go right down the list. Or is this going to be another one of those instances where a Democratic senator, the last time or the time before the last time, it was Feingold, and everybody left him just hanging there? Are they going to do it to Kerry this time? Come on, Democrats! Come on, Senate Democrats! Kerry's out there. Where's Kennedy? Come on, Democrats. What do you suppose is going to happen? How many Democrats are going to step out now and join Kerry in a righteous assault on this filthy Bush crime family? Come on, Democrats, step out. How many of you are going to step up and join your partner, John Kerry? Huh? You afraid of Limbaugh? You afraid of Hannity? Who are you afraid of, Democrats? You afraid you won't get reelected? Where's Joe Lieberman? Hey, Lieberman, you got... Never mind. Well, like I say, until I read this on DU, it just, you know, once again, I forget. God help me, I forget that so many Democratic senators are cowards. They're just yellow-bellied, streaked down the middle of their back cowards. They won't fight. They won't resist this. And the hell of it is, we have to vote them back into office, those that are up for re-election. We've got to. And we've got to get as many Democrats in as possible. We have to stop this. We've got to stop the Bush crime family. It must stop. Or we're going to lose the country. And if there are any real Republicans left out there, I'm talking about Goldwater Republicans, I'm talking about Rockefeller Republicans, any of you who are still left out there, who still have a decent bone or thought in your body, then you resist too. This is not your Republican Party. Some pig like Duncan Hunter represents what you believe in? Huh. Man. Back to your phone calls. Tiffany is calling from Maryland. Tiffany, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on. I appreciate it.
Oh, Michael, I love you. I've missed you, but I got a lot to talk about, so I'm not going to talk about how much I hate these people.
Okay.
Look, I'm on a mission, and I hope you'll let me do this because I've promised Clint Curtis that I would. Could all your listeners please get a paper and a pen? I'll repeat the numbers a couple of times. I am working with the campaign of Clint Curtis for Congress in Florida's 24th District. And for those who aren't familiar with the story, in the fall of 2000, Congressman Feeney wasn't congressman yet. He was Speaker of the House of Florida.
Uh-huh.
He worked for Yang Enterprises Incorporated in Oviedo, Florida. He was their corporate counsel, and he was their lobbyist. Clint Curtis was Yang's head programmer.
Right.
And Feeney went to Clint Curtis and asked him to write a vote rigging program.
Yeah, I think most people who listen to this program are familiar with that story.
Okay, good, good. Well, then just to
and it's on the record that Feeney asked for a vote rigging program to be introduced into the voting machines in the state of Florida, and he got it.
He got it. Well, now Clint Curtis is running for Congress against Feeney, but the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee isn't funding him.
And why?
It's a tight race. Well, I have my own suspicions why, and I want to touch on that real quick, and then I want to give some numbers out because they've asked me to launch a pressure campaign to jam the phone lines of the DCCC, and I intend to do that if I may. But I've seen a movie by Clint Curtis. Well, actually, he didn't produce it or direct it, but he's in it. And they're in a church at some sort of
Can you hold it right there? Just hold it right there, Tiffany. We'll pick this up on the other side of the break, all right?
Okay, that's great.
All right, just uh-huh. Stay right there.
Okay.
This is NovAm Radio. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Well, I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect.
how much he wants to slowly disembowel them and strangle them with their own intestines? It's more like an oil.
Ew. Ew. It's 21 past the hour. Back to Tiffany, who has called in from Sparks, Maryland, about this, Feeney, he was the Speaker of the Florida House, right?
Yes, he was.
And he's the one who asked for this program to rig the elections in 2000 and got it. Now, go ahead and wrap this up for me, Tiffany.
I need everyone to call the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Here's their number. It's area code 202-863-1500. We want to jam their phone lines and demand answers about why they won't fund Clint Curtis when he's running against the guy who asked him to rig the vote. And
what is the Democratic Congressional Committee people say now?
I've left messages for them. I haven't gotten any answers back. I keep getting pushed to somebody who has a voicemail.
Oh my God.
So now also I want to touch on this too. Okay.
Let's give the number again. It's 202-863-1500.
Yep, 202-863-1500. Now, Hillary Clinton, there's a documentary out called Eternal Vigilance. And by the way, you guys, everybody watch on this Thursday, HBO has one coming out called Hacking Democracy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff about Volusia County, and that's in Feeney's district. And that is the place where 16,000 votes left the Gore column and went to Bush, by the way, in 2000.
That's right. Now,
in Eternal Vigilance, Hillary Clinton is sitting in a church with this like little convention that happened in the second row, I think, of the pews. And Brad Friedman comes on. He's got the online exclusive with Curtis. And he announces that Clint Curtis just passed a polygraph test with respect to this whole story, and that Tom Feeney hasn't taken the test yet. He keeps denying that he's done anything wrong. Hillary Clinton knows about this, okay? And so she knows, you know Bill knows, you know Gore knows, you know Kerry knows, which means Kerry's concession is what kept this from going mainstream. There is a really big story that we're talking about, a dead inspector general that was investigating it. I mean, the whole nine yards. And you can Google Clint Curtis's House Judiciary testimony online and watch his testimony before Congress. So it's 202-863-1500. One more thing I want to say. I just got this from my mother with respect to what they're afraid of and why they won't fight.
Uh-huh.
This was written up in the Washington Post. I was at this rally with 300,000 people, and the headline says, "Did Bush administration attack peace movement with military-grade biological bacteria?" D.C. Public Health Director Greg A. Payne posed that question in the Post article, and why that day? It was puzzling that the finding was from a day where the mall was packed with people, and equally puzzling was an earlier Post report that weekend protesters hit travel snags. The article reported that Amtrak trains, you know, were blocked from Washington.
I do remember
so this
that.
This is why they're not fighting. Also,
right.
Check out the Council on Foreign Relations. You mentioned Rockefeller Republicans. Rockefeller is all wrapped up in the CFR. So is Clinton.
I know.
This is the New World Order.
Tiffany, you're giving us way too much information here.
I know, but people got to know, Mike.
I know. But you have to kind of parcel it out. It's kind of overwhelming me, too. But I think most people listening have got the main thing tonight is to call the Democratic Congressional Committee and ask why they are not supporting the guy who's running against Feeney in Florida. All right? Are you there?
One more thing.
Quick.
Truthinthebooth.com.
Truthinthebooth.com. Got it.
The Clint Curtis story.
All right. Thanks, Tiffany. Thanks. I appreciate it. You take care. While Tiffany's been talking, no disrespect, but I've been sitting here watching with the sound off the Google video on the U.S. Army ammo dump attack that as far as I know, nobody has reported in American media. It's so far gotten almost 100,000 views, 87,000 views. Here's what I want you to do during the break that's coming up now. This thing runs 8 minutes. Just go to Google and click on video and type in U.S. Army dump attack or U.S. Army ammo dump attack. That's all. Just go to Google, go to the video section and type this in. And this is video taken by soldiers who are not that far away, and you can, the soundtrack gives you what they're saying. A lot of them are laughing about all this, which I don't quite understand. But if you want to see something that is just mind-boggling, this goes on for 8 minutes. Explosions in a U.S. Army ammo dump in Iraq. I don't know. This is astonishing. I've not seen any of this, Kathy, on any news report. I've not heard about this except on the Internet. All right, quick break. When we come back, the Telltale Heart, right after you watch the Iraq ammo dump attack. Go to Google, do the video, you'll find it. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
I'm happy. You know, this is. But wars are not a time of joy. These aren't joyous times. Look in her eye.
Rest on leather with flesh on the mind. 26 before the hour. All right, in response to a rapidly diminishing number of requests, I have. For the past couple of years on Halloween, I read The Telltale Heart, Edgar Allan Poe's classic, and we're going to do it again this year. So kick back, and if you want to, you can read along. The Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe.
True. Nervous, very, very dreadfully nervous I had been, and am, but why will you say that I am mad? The disease had sharpened my senses, not destroyed, not dulled them. Above all was the sense of hearing acute. I heard all things in the heaven and in the earth. I heard many things in hell. How then am I mad? Hearken, and observe how healthily, how calmly I can tell you the whole story. It is impossible to say how first the idea entered my brain, but once conceived, it haunted me day and night. Object there was none, passion there was none. I loved the old man. He had never wronged me. He had never given me insult. For his gold I had no desire. I think it was his eye. Yes, it was this. He had the eye of a vulture, a pale blue eye with a film over it. Whenever it fell upon me, my blood ran cold, and so by degrees, very gradually, I made up my mind to take the life of the old man and thus rid myself of the eye forever. Now this is the point. You fancy me mad. Madmen know nothing, but you should have seen me. You should have seen how wisely I proceeded, with what caution, with what foresight, with what dissimulation. I went to work. I was never kinder to the old man than during the week before I killed him. And every night, about midnight, I turned the latch of his door and opened it, oh so gently, and then, when I had made an opening sufficient for my head, I put in a dark lantern, all closed, closed, that no light shone out, and then I thrust in my head. Oh, you would have laughed to see how cunningly I thrust it in. I moved it slowly, very, very slowly, so that I might not disturb the old man's sleep. It took me an hour to place my whole head within the opening so far that I could see him as he lay upon his bed. Ha! Would a madman have been so wise as this? And then, when my head was well in the room, I undid the lantern cautiously, oh so cautiously, cautiously, for the hinges creaked. I undid it just so much that a single thin ray fell upon the vulture eye. And this I did for 7 long nights, every night just at midnight. But I found the eye always closed, and so it was impossible to do the work. For it was not the old man who vexed me, but his evil eye. And every morning when the day broke, I went boldly into the chamber and spoke courageously to him, calling him by name in a hearty tone and inquiring how he had passed the night. So you see, he would have been a very profound old man indeed to suspect that every night, just at 12, I looked in upon him while he slept. Upon the 8th night, I was more than usually cautious in opening the door. A watch's minute hand moved more quickly than did mine. Never before that night had I felt the extent of my own powers, of my sagacity. I could barely contain my feelings of triumph. To think that there I was, opening the door little by little, and he not even to dream of my secret deeds or thoughts. I fairly chuckled at the idea. And perhaps he heard me, for he moved on the bed suddenly, as if startled. Now, you may think that I drew back, but no, his room was as black as pitch, with the thick darkness, for the shutters were close, fastened, through fear of robbers. And so I knew that he could not see the opening of the door, and I kept pushing it on steadily, steadily. I had my head in, and was about to open the lantern, when my thumb slipped upon the tin fastening, and the old man sprang up in bed, crying out, "Who's there?" I kept quiet, and still, and said nothing. For a whole hour I did not move a muscle, and in the meantime I did not hear him lie down. He was still sitting up in the bed, listening, just as I have done night after night, hearkening to the death watches in the wall. Presently I heard a slight groan, and I knew it was the groan of mortal terror. It was not a groan of pain or of grief. Oh, no, it was the low, stifled sound that arises from the bottom of the soul. When overcharged with awe, I knew the sound well. Many a night, just at midnight, when all the world slept, it has welled up from my own bosom, deepening with its dreadful echo the terrors that distracted me. I say I knew it well. I knew what the old man felt. I pitied him, although I chuckled at heart. I knew that he had been lying awake ever since the first slight noise, when he had turned in the bed. His fears had been ever since growing upon him. He had been trying to fancy them causeless, but could not. He had been saying to himself, "It is nothing but the wind in the chimney. It is only a mouse crossing the floor, or it is merely a cricket which has made a single chirp." Yes, he had been trying to comfort himself with these suppositions, but he had found all in vain. All in vain, because death, in approaching him, had stalked with his black shadow before him and enveloped the victim. And it was the mournful influence of the unperceived shadow that caused him to feel, although he never saw nor heard, to feel the presence of my head within the room. When I had waited a long time, very patiently, without hearing him lie down, I resolved to open a little, a very, very little crevice in the lantern. So I opened it. You cannot imagine how stealthily, stealthily, until at length a simple dim ray, like the thread of a spider, shot from out the crevice and fell full upon the vulture eye. It was open, wide, wide open. And I grew furious as I gazed upon it. I saw it with perfect distinctness, all a dull blue with a hideous veil over it that chilled the very marrow in my bones. But I could see nothing else of the old man's face or person, for I had directed the ray as if by instinct precisely upon the damned spot. And have I not told you that what you mistake for madness is but over-acuteness of the sense? Now, I say, there came to my ears a dull, low, quick sound, such as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I knew that sound well. It was the beating of the old man's heart. It increased my fury as the beating of a drum stimulates the soldier on to courage. But even yet I refrained and kept still. I scarcely breathed. I held the lantern motionless. I tried how steadily I could to maintain the ray upon the eye. Meantime, the hellish tattoo of the heart increased. It grew quicker and quicker and louder every instant. The old man's terror must have been extreme. It grew louder, I say, louder every moment. Do you mark me well? I have told you that I am nervous, so I am. And now, at the dead hour of the night, amid the dreadful silence of that old house, so strange a noise as this excited me to uncontrollable terror. Yet for some minutes longer I refrained and stood still. But the beating grew louder, louder. I thought the heart must burst. And now a new anxiety seized me. The sound would be heard by a neighbor. The old man's hour had come. With a loud yell, I threw open the lantern and leaped into the room. He shrieked once, once only. In an instant, I dragged him to the floor and pulled the heavy bed over him. I then smiled gaily to find the deed so far done. But for many minutes, the heart beat on with a muffled sound. This, however, did not vex me. It would not be heard through the wall. At length it ceased. The old man was dead. I removed the bed and examined the corpse. Yes, he was stone dead. I placed my hand upon the heart and held it there many minutes. There was no pulsation. He was stone dead. His eye would trouble me no longer. If still you think me mad, you will think so no longer when I describe the wise precautions I took for the concealment of the body. The night waned, and I worked hastily, but in silence. First of all, I dismembered the corpse. I cut off the head and the arms and the legs. I then took up three planks from the flooring of the chamber and deposited all between the scantlings. I then replaced the boards so cleverly, so cunningly, that no human eye, not even his, could have detected anything wrong. There was nothing to wash out, no stain of any kind, no blood spot whatever. I had been too wary for that. A tub had caught all. When I had made an end of these labors, it was 4 o'clock, still dark as midnight. As the bell sounded the hour, there came a knocking at the street door. I went down to open it with a light heart, for what had I now to fear? There entered three men who introduced themselves with perfect suavity as officers of the police. A shriek had been heard by a neighbor during the night. Suspicion of foul play had been aroused. Information had been lodged at the police office, and they, the officers, had been deputed to search the premises. I smiled, for what had I to fear? I bade the gentlemen welcome. The shriek, I said, was my own in a dream. The old man, I mentioned, was absent in the country. I took my visitors all over the house. I bade them search. Search well. I led them at length to his chamber. I showed him his treasure, secure, undisturbed. In the enthusiasm of my confidence, I brought chairs into the room and desired them here to rest from their fatigues, while I myself, in the wild audacity of my perfect triumph, placed my own seat upon the very spot beneath which reposed the corpse of the victim. The officers were satisfied. My manner had convinced them. I was singularly at ease. They sat, and while I answered cheerily, they chatted of familiar things. But ere long I felt myself getting pale and wished them gone. My head ached, and I fancied ringing in my ears. But still they sat, and still chatted. The ringing became more distinct. It continued and became more distinct. I talked more freely to get rid of the feeling, but it continued and gained definiteness until at length I found that the noise was not within my ears. No doubt I now grew very pale, but I talked more fluently and with a heightened voice. Yet the sound increased, and what could I do? It was a low, dull, quick sound, much like a sound as a watch makes when enveloped in cotton. I gasped for breath, and yet the officers heard it not. I talked more quickly, more vehemently, but the noise steadily increased. I arose and argued about trifles in a high key and with violent gesticulations, but the noise steadily increased. Why would they not be gone? I paced the floor to and fro with heavy strides, as if excited to fury by the observations of the men, but the noise steadily increased. Oh, God, what could I do? I foamed, I raved, I swore. I swung the chair upon which I had been sitting and grated it upon the boards. But the noise arose over all and continually increased. It grew louder, 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 and still the men chatted pleasantly and smiled. Was it possible they heard not? Almighty God, no! No, they heard! They suspected! They knew! They were making a mockery of my horror. This I thought, and this I think. But anything else, anything was better than this agony. Anything was more tolerable than this derision. I could bear those hypocritical smiles no longer. I felt that I must scream or die. And now, again, hark, louder, 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 louder! Villains, I shrieked, dissemble no more. I admit the deed. Tear up the planks.
Here! Here! It is the beating of his hideous heart!
Mark Malloy. All right, we're just about out of time. I've got a couple of emails that tell me some video of this ammo dump explosion in Iraq was on CNN, CNN International, CBC Television in Canada, and a few other places. There's a website, libertyforum.org. libertyforum.org, and if you search the site, you'll find this. The absolute URL is a little bit longer, but go to libertyforum.org, and it publishes the list of 300 American soldiers who were killed in this explosion. Now I don't know what's going on here. I didn't even hear about this until late today. But if you went to the Google video and watched, it's pretty astonishing. And apparently, Wolf Blitzer today, the former U-boat commander, Wolf Blitzer, on CNN, reported the story and mouthed a couple of wows, look at that's, and then moved on. So I'm not sure what the entire story is here, and we will try to check it out between now and tomorrow evening. And if you want to do some research yourself, go ahead. But libertyforum.org, and then just use whatever search engine is there to find this. And there's a list. I was looking at the list. My God, if this is true. And isn't this an absolute critique or assessment or observation about the Bush crime family and the media right now? We never know what's true, do we? We don't have any idea. Do you know how many American servicemen and women have died in Iraq? No, neither do I. Do you know how many Iraqis have died? No. How many Americans are wounded? No. Do you know what the real picture is in Iraq? No. Neither do I. The complicity that has existed between American media and the United States military and the Bush crime family. I'm not talking about the soldiers. I'm talking about the military commanders who have their careers to protect. The complicity that has existed has denied us the truth about what is going on in Iraq. And it's being done in our name with our tax dollars. It's going to the pockets of the private contractors, not the least of whom is Kellogg Brown and Root and Halliburton, Dick Cheney companies. As far as the explosion at the ammo dump, where it is claimed that as many as 300 Americans died, if you go to libertyforum.org, it not only lists the names, but it also lists the units in which these Americans were serving. How do any of us really figure out what's really going on anymore at all? You know what I'm saying? Sure you do. Sure you do. If you haven't seen the video, please just check it out. Go to Google, click on video, and then type into the search window, U.S. ammo dump explosion, and watch it. We only have about a minute left. Gene in New York has been holding on for 2 hours. Gene, I'm sorry. Welcome to the program.
No, it's no problem. It's been a great show tonight. I am still floored by this other video that's been kind of rocking the net today of Mike Stark getting beaten by a couple of George Allen's goons.
Yeah, wasn't that a nice video? I saw that this evening. Good God.
Well, the good news is, according to, first, the Washington Post is actually reporting this accurately.
Hey, Gene, I'll tell you what. I got to go. If you'll call in tomorrow, I'll put you on first. I'm sorry, pal. I got to go.
You betcha. You have
a good night. All right. Take care. Right. You too. Thanks to everybody who made this program possible tonight. Billy Foster engineered. Kim Macias answered your calls, both in Phoenix. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall and Ben Birch. Thanks to everybody. Podcasts and downloads of The Molloy Show will begin tomorrow. Go to NovaMradio.com. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care, all right? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Molloy. This is Nova M Radio.
The end of everything that stands, the end. No safety.